The details have finally been revealed. The All Blacks are returning to South Africa for a historic, massive tour in 2026. This isn't just three tests, this is four tests and four midweek clashes against our URC giants. Today, you are going to get a front row seat to the full fixture list, the historical parallels with the legendary 1996 tour, and why this time the outcome will be very, very different. And you know who can't wait for this tour? Two-time Rugby World Cup champion, Hendre Pollard, that's who. You can get your hands on a Hendre bobblehead figurine for free if you visit the Scoin Shop and make a purchase. South Africa's leading gold coin and bullion retailer, specializing in Krugerrands, rare coins, and numismatics. Just like the Springboks, the Scoin Shop is all about world-class quality and heritage. These coins are test match quality, worthy of back-to-back world champions. So why stop at Hendre? Collect the whole gang and build your winning team. The Scoin Shop has stores nationwide. Here are the fixtures for you in full. Friday the 7th of August, the All Blacks will be visiting the Stormers in Cape Town. Then on Tuesday the 11th, the Kiwis head to Durban to take on the Sharks. Saturday the 15th of August, our visitors will be hosted by the Bulls at Loftus in Pretoria. Then on Saturday the 22nd of August, the first test match between the Springboks and New Zealand will take place at Ellis Park. Ellis Park will again host the All Blacks just a couple of days later. That's Tuesday the 25th, when the Lions will host them. And then on Saturday the 29th of August, the New Zealanders will be back in Cape Town to take on the world champions in the second test. And a week later, Saturday the 5th of September, South Africa versus New Zealand at the FNB Stadium, or Soccer City, also in Joburg. That's the third test. And then they've added a fourth test, which will take place on the 12th of September between these two great rugby rivals. The venue is yet to be announced. Now, firstly, let me say, I love that this is happening. The last time this took place was in 1996. The Kiwis visited our shores and played three tests, as well as midweek matches against Boerland, Northwest and Griquas. As it turns out, there was also a fourth test on that occasion, but that was before the three-match series began. That one was part of the Tri-Nation, so it was a three-match series with a fourth test dangling just before that, which is different to this time round. And, as it turns out, both Dr. Russi Erasmus and Scott Robertson are very excited.
My first test match that I watched was New Zealand. Didn't always have televisions, wasn't always broadcast, but we all knew about New Zealand, all of us. You know, we didn't know the Irish players or the English players, we knew the New Zealand players. And one of our friends, that's a close friend still of mine, is much older than me, Donnie Gerber, is also from the Spats, and he played in the Cavaliers tour, also the Flower Bomb tour. And then, yeah, so my first knowing of international rugby wasn't England or Wales or Australia, it was New Zealand, the games I watched. Otherwise, it was club rugby and provincial rugby, because the other games wasn't even broadcast.
Yeah, look, you know, like I was saying, it's one of those boxes, isn't it? You just got to tick as a rugby supporter, getting to the Republic, getting on tour, watching a tour, getting a few Castle Lagers, and getting to Ellis Park, and that part of it's pretty unique and it's pretty special. It's a once in a lifetime for a lot of people. So, you know, we expect a lot of Kiwis and black jerseys coming over. With Springboks, which is, you know, when you look at the annuals, it's pretty special, the amount of big occasions we've had, and another one's ahead next year.
There are some interesting parallels as well for me. Back in 1996, the New Zealanders arrived in South Africa out for revenge. They were hurting after we beat them in the 1995 Rugby World Cup final. Don't forget, they had steamrolled everyone on their way to that final, and they were the favourites. But then, we not only stopped them, we defeated them to lift the Webb Ellis Cup. And so a year later, they came to our country to set the record straight. And don't forget that at that stage, the All Blacks had never won a test series in South Africa before. As we now know, Sean Fitzpatrick's men made history by taking the contest 2-1. This time around, there is something similar going on. Arguably worse. We have won the last two Rugby World Cups, beating them in the most recent final to boot. We've also won 5 of the last 6 against them, including that record 43-10 hammering in Wellington just over a month ago.
From Matt Carley. But then Marks with ball in hand.
On the floor there. Gets away.
Oh, you want to win every series, and it's always fresh when you have those records, which is not your fondest, is it? It's and you get occasional like this. Obviously, this has been in the background for quite a while now, and you work closely with it, which is scheduling and your timing. And the more you see, the more excited you get. It's fortunate to play Super Rugby against the South Africans for a long period of time, and coach as well. And you know what it's like to play the Stormers and Sharks and Bulls and those Lions games on the side of a Test match as well. So it's that full package, and you're all in, and you get to do it, and you get it with a great group of supporters. I'm sure, look, there'll be some that had done it before and want to do it again while they can, and support the All Blacks in the Republic.
For me, the big difference this time around is that in 1996, they were better than us. Anyone with eyes could see it. It was a really tough task for us to beat them. And yes, they didn't thrash us, but they were ahead of us. Personally, I put it down to new coach at the time, Andre Markgraaf, lacking confidence and authority in his new role. Remember, Markgraaf had just replaced Kitch Christie. And if you look at his selections, you can see there was inconsistency. There also seemed to be a power struggle with captain Francois Pienaar. Markgraaf famously dropped Pienaar after that series loss. Personally, I think the correct strategy would have been to go with the 1995 Rugby World Cup guys that year. Get through the Tri Nations, maybe with 2 or 3 new players, like Justin Swart, for example, but keep the core of the side. And then make sure we win that home series against New Zealand. And then after that, on the end of year tour, when we went to Argentina, France, and finished off against Wales, then bring in newer players, younger blood, and begin experimenting with the squad that he was looking to go with to the 1999 Rugby World Cup. As we obviously know, Markgraaf never made it that far because of what happened early in 1997, but this episode is not about that. Let's stay in 1996 and say that after the Kiwis beat us in Cape Town in the Tri Nations and we lost Pienaar to concussion, even without our charismatic and talismanic captain, Gary Teichman took over as skipper. And as I say, don't forget, Francois left the field concussed in the last Tri Nations test at Newlands in those days. So if we look at it like this, we were beaten in Christchurch by 4 points. In Cape Town, we were leading when Pienaar went off before we were blown away and lost by 11. But in Durban, we went down by 4, and in Pretoria, they won by 7. That's a single score. Little things here and there that could have just been done differently with a coach that showed more faith in the old guard, and I think we could have nicked that series, especially because we had home ground advantage. But maybe in hindsight, we probably did well to get so close to such a superb side in any event, especially when you consider the chaos that was going on in our squad in terms of power struggles and selection inconsistencies. Nevertheless, there is a big difference between 1996 and 2026. This time around, we are clearly the better side. We also have home ground advantage again this time around. And I think I speak for all of us when I say I will be very disappointed if we don't take the series. That is not to say it will be a walk in the park. Certainly not.
And then Kolisi! Yeah, it is. Those clashes and at the high value, you know, you've got your different... Yeah, you know, we're not playing high value, are we, here in NZ? You know... You're not going up
country
to play up in the light era here. So, you know, there's all those variations. And you know, the ball fights differently. They're bigger bodies. They play different style. There's a lot of aerial game, as we know very well from a few weeks ago. And, you know, obviously they've got a style now. They can hold the ball if they want to too. So all those different styles of way they want to play is what we'll learn. And it's a great thing about doing it in a tour. You know, you get tight and you take on anything that's in front of you, and it's going to be a hell of a tour. That's it. And it builds your depth and it builds your quality of combinations, and you find out about yourself, especially four tests. You know, we watched the Lions tour with a lot of interest and intrigue and how that was going to work out with just the three tests. But, you know, the size of their squads, the size of their management group, the coaching group, how do they look after themselves over that period of time? So we've got a reference point, but this is different. It's South Africa, and it's, you know, a historic game, and, yeah, something we're looking forward to.
And something else that is interesting is that there will be a fourth test. I needed to get some clarity, and it turns out that that fourth test is not a separate match. It is part of the series. So the danger here is that for whoever wins it, they will have to win it 3-1, because draws are so rare in rugby, it's unlikely it'll be 2-1 and a draw. And that brings its own challenges. I can easily see us winning the series at home 2-1, or them upsetting us with a 2-1 away win. But then there is a fourth test on neutral ground, giving the team that is 2-1 down an opportunity to hit back and square the series. If you ask me, that fourth test at a neutral venue plays into the hands of the away side. I really hope it doesn't come down to that. And you heard earlier that Razor spoke about scheduling. Well, Russie also gave his thoughts on that and the idea of a much-needed, truly global calendar.
In my personal view, another involvement would be if they can slot that the Rugby Championship, so it's not gone, into the February slot. I think that will work very well for our law changes. I think it will, of course, all the new law changes or testing of law changes will happen at the same time. Competitions will be synced. There will be enough windows for players to rest enough. So I'm just naming a few things. I'm not saying that's a solution. But if we don't keep evolving, the way the players are getting bigger and the game are getting faster and it's more collisions, you'll have to find ways where there's new competitions. It feels like there's more and more cups. You know, it's the Qatar Cup, and there's this cup, and then there's the greatest rivalry, and then it's the Rugby Championship. And then, so that feels more. But I was saying on the previous chat, sorry, I'm taking up a lot of time. I was saying on the previous chat with the South African guys, new media guys, you know, the players who played matches for us, I think there was three players that played more than 8 out of 10 matches. The average was about 5 out of 10 matches that we use in the Rugby Championship. So the biggest thing, in my opinion, is player management with these different amount of competitions, hemisphere, until the rugby calendar is aligned. So we must evolve, my friend. You're 100% right.
So a quick reminder for you on the fixtures again. Friday the 7th of August, the Stormers host the All Blacks in Cape Town. Tuesday the 11th of August, the Sharks will have the opportunity to play the home side against our visitors, that one in Durban. Then on Saturday the 15th of August, the Bulls face the Kiwis at Loftus. Saturday the 22nd of August, the first test between the world champions and New Zealand at Ellis Park. Tuesday the 25th of August, the New Zealanders will be back at Ellis Park to take on the Lions. Personally, I think they've missed an opportunity there to take that match to a place like Orlando Stadium, but that's just my opinion. Saturday the 29th of August, the Springboks take on the All Blacks in Cape Town for the second test. And then a week later, the two sides meet again for the third test at the FNB Stadium in Johannesburg, aka Soccer City, before the 12th of September, the fourth test between the two sides takes place at a venue yet to be announced. My only disappointment is that I think it would have been nice to throw in a few more games against opponents like the Cheetahs, Pumas, Kings, Griquas, and maybe a SAA game. The latter could have been played in a place like Polokwane, for example. But I also get that the calendar is tight, and as much as those old school tours went on for 2 months and you pretty much played everyone in the country, that might not actually be possible these days. Well, at least not for now. Maybe in the future we can get that back. So I think we'll take it for now, And one final note on the Rugby Championship, guys. It will not be taking place in 2026 because of this tour. But they have announced a full version for 2027, 28 and 29. Remember, there was a danger that we were not going to get a full version until at least 2028. But that has since been clarified. There will be a full version in 27, 28 and 29. But in 2030, the Springboks will go and tour New Zealand for three tests, potentially with a fourth test at a neutral venue. So that will keep a few people happy for now, even though I agree with Russi that it should be played, that's the Rugby Championship, at the same time as the Six Nations. But how do you see it? Are you, like me, super excited about this All Blacks tour and can't wait? Or do you think this is an unnecessary gimmick and these kinds of tours belong in the amateur era? Let me know in the comment section down below. And just before I go, guys, I'd like to encourage you to head on over to my Patreon page and sign up as one of my patrons. There are great benefits up for grabs. For example, you can win the brand new Eben Etzebeth autobiography that's just come out. You have to be one of my patrons in order to win one. In addition to that, you might be able to win the new James Small biography that's coming out soon. You could get quarterly Zoom calls with me where we discuss Springbok matches and tactics, old matches, players, anything you like really to do with the Springboks. And you might even be able to get me to write an ebook for you on your favorite Springbok rugby player. But you have to be a patron. You can head on over to my Patreon page. The link is in the description area below. And it starts from as little as $5 per month. That's US dollars, not Namibian dollars. And I very much appreciate your support. I would love to do this full time and go to Australia in 2027 and cover the Rugby World Cup for you from down under with daily coverage. If you want to help me make that happen, click on the link below, sign up as a patron, join my dream team, and I'll see you next time.